prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We have made it to the end of another week. By faith, it's going to be a great day, and so I pray that you have a wonderful day. I am excited. I have good things in store for today. It is going to be today. It's something I've waited for days and days and days for, and so I'm excited. It's going to be an awesome day. I pray that you are having an awesome day as well. And today we want to give a shout out to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. This last week, I was in conversation with a person, and they said, "Hey, I had Bill come out and he checked out my air conditioner because I didn't want my air conditioner to go poof in the night. He just came and he checked it out, and he said that everything was working wonderfully." And, you know, so that brought this particular lady tremendous peace of mind because, you know, she had her everything examined and said, "You know what? It's working really, really well." You need to have air conditioning professionals that you can trust, that are not going to find a problem that doesn't exist. You can see those sorts of things on the news all the time. And so if you want someone who is not there to take advantage of you, but is just there to make sure that your unit is working fine, whether it's cold weather or hot weather, give Bill and Drake a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. So that is something that you can do that would be a great blessing in your life. So this coming week we are going to be celebrating Fire Bible Sunday. It is also a day where we're going to be focusing on giving the Word of God. Taking the Word of God to the ends of the earth. That's what we are going to be doing. And so there will be some emphasis on Fire Bibles that take place there. And we're really excited about that. If you've ever seen some of the videos that I've seen about pastors in cultures, and they are getting their very first Bible, and tears coming down their eyes. I remember when I turned, because I got two gifts for my birthday that year. One of them was a putter, and the second was a Bible from my grandparents. And I still remember those two gifts. Those two gifts made my 13th birthday exceptionally special. But I don't think I cried over the Bible the way that some of these pastors do when they realize that they have just been given a gift that is going to touch their lives, touch their communities, like no other gift could. We've got Bibles for our young people. We don't want them to be biblically illiterate, and so We make sure that they have study Bibles that they can avail themselves of whenever they are at church. So that's coming up this weekend. We're really excited about that. I've also got a Fiji trip coming up. We've got the church Christmas dinner. We got the kids' Christmas party. We have Christmas Eve communion service. We got a lot of things on the horizon. If you can participate in any of those things, it would be something we would love to celebrate with you. We're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 today. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse number 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." That's where we ended on yesterday's program. I know, because I got a little mark there. It says, this is where we ended. Next, it goes on to describe the purpose for which we have been given the identity. That's what was talked about, as our identity, what God has made us. Say, he says, you are. That indicates a state of being. A chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people. Now it begins to talk about purpose. "That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And it talks about here, the purpose is that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let me tell you a little bit about me. I want to have people speaking into my life. And one of the preachers that I particularly enjoy is Robert Morris. Robert Morris has a way of communicating profound spiritual truths in a very simple manner, and that is something which I try and do as well. And he was describing on a program last week about witnessing, you know, that we are called to be a witness of the things which we have heard and the things that we have seen. And it was especially the first point was exceptionally good, that that's what Jesus did. That's what Paul was called to do. And that takes a lot of the complexity out of this tremendous task of communicating the good news of Jesus Christ out of the equation. You know, many people use the excuse, well, I don't feel adequate to witness to somebody. I don't feel adequate to lead somebody to Jesus. And so let me just ask you to say, tell people about the things that you have heard and the things that you have seen. You know, As a pastor, I would love for people to hear something in church on Sunday, that you would hear something on the radio today, and you would say, wow, I've got to be able to communicate that to somebody else. That is fascinating. What is even better than just hearing someone else's story is actually having a story of your own. And so every once in a while, I come up with these witty statements, and my daughters say, "Oh, I've got to use that. I've got to come up with that." And don't ask me what they are, because most of the time they're spontaneous and not pre-planned. When you hear things that make an impact, don't let them die with you. Don't be a cistern. A cistern is a hole in the ground or a tank that water goes into, and it doesn't go anyplace unless you pump it out. Be a spring. Be something that when God pours a blessing into you, that you're like Paul, "That which I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you." That's what's really a fascinating thing to do. And so Robert Morris was talking about being a witness, and he gave a couple of more points, and he talked about how he was able to lead the person who was cutting his hair to the Lord. Now, you know, I think it's wisdom that you wait until after the person gets done cutting your hair, that you have those sorts of discussions. That's just a thing. But wherever we go, I want people to hear about the goodness of God. I had a neighbor, a person that needed Jesus. And I was talking to him one day, and he said, "Bob, you make Jesus sound so real." And I told him, I called him by name, and I said, "You know, that's the easiest job in the world, because he is real. He is authentic. He's genuine. He is alive. He is longing to have a relationship with us." And so that's very, very, that should take the complexity out of witnessing and say, you know, how can I just share my story, my testimony with others? And so here Peter writes, and he says, We have been made a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that we can proclaim the praises of God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is not just so that we can have a great worship experience when we're in the house of God. This is about speaking to those who are still living in darkness, and we are proclaiming the light of Jesus Christ, that it is a glorious life. If you are not experiencing the joy of being a born-again child of God, and I'm not talking about no problems in your life, no challenges in your life, just knowing the joy of Jesus, then I pray that you have an encounter with God that is going to take away the jaded edges of life and the disappointments and the hurts that have been inflicted upon you, and you get down to the bare essentials of life, and that is, God loves me, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and one of these days I am going to have a face-to-face encounter with him that is going to make the light and momentary afflictions of this life pale in comparison to the glories that God has in store for me. Never forget, that's how the Holy Spirit wants us to look at the discomforts of this life, that they are light and momentary compared to the weight of his glory that he's got in store for us. So, Robert Morris, at the end of this message, he says, on every campus, at every campus, he's got different locations, in every service, he had a gift for everybody that day, and it was a lead fishing weight. That's what causes your line to sink down to the appropriate depths in the water to where the fish are, so that they will take the bait. They will either attack the bait, or they'll attack the lure, and there's a hook there. And he said, so many of you are thinking, you know, because this is a message on witnessing, that I've got that because we want to make you fishers of men. And he said, well, that truth is there. That's not the reason that I'm giving you this lead fishing weight. He said, many people have told me through the years that they only witness when they feel led. And so I've given you this small weight so that you can carry it in your wallet or carry it in your purse. And every time you have the opportunity to be a witness, you just reach in there, you feel that lead fishing weight and say, you know what? I feel led to witness right now. And it's, you know, that's a groaner of a joke, but he actually did that. He actually distributed lead fishing weights to his entire congregation. And you and I, we get to proclaim the praises of God who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, you need to understand that when you have been in a dark atmosphere and you're called into a light atmosphere, there's going to be a period of adjustment for your eyes. You know, it is such a stark contrast. There are creatures that they have found down in the depths of the ocean that are at such great depths that light has not penetrated down there. And those creatures would not be able to function well if you brought them into a light atmosphere without having some sort of adjustment period. We need to realize people are trapped in spiritual darkness. The devil has them blinded to spiritual truths. And the good news is Jesus wants people like you and I, who once lived in that same atmosphere, proclaiming to those who are still living in that atmosphere, there is a much better way of living that is available to us. I'm living proof of it, and God wants you to experience it, and that's why he has sent me here to you. He says that as we do this, as we call people out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we remember that we once were not the people of God, but now we are. That we once were living without mercy, but now we have received mercy. And that reality, that realization is what ought to birth compassion in us for the people that we minister to. That we realize, you know what? I was once in the same spot. I was once in the same condition, and look what God has done in me. And so when we see people who are in the same predicament that we once were in, we don't need to look at them with their present day reality, but we need to look at them and see the potential that God can do great things through them. I'm a great believer in potential. Look, if God can take a pile of dust and create an eternal living soul out of that pile of dust, there's not anything that he can't do. A lady from our church posted this little Facebook meme, and she says, the Bible says that we were dust and that we're going to return to dust. Therefore, that's the reason that I don't dust, because I don't know who I'm exactly sweeping up. And I was like, that's funny. You know, if you're looking for a reason not to dust, that's God took a pile of dust and created an eternal living soul out of it. He took people who weren't his people, and he says, now you are my people because I've redeemed you. So verse number 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We need to have a mindset that we are just passing through. We're on a journey. We're pilgrims. We're not pilgrims. Are not people who are content with the situation the way that they are. They are people who are looking for breakthrough. They are looking for places that are undeveloped so that they can develop it. They're not looking to escape from society. They're just looking for an opportunity. Too many people are looking for a place that is already fully developed. And I'm a guy that's like, you know what? Isaiah 58 talks about restorer of streets with dwellings. I'm looking for the opportunity to take something that nobody else wants and develop it and show that there's true spiritual value there. I pray that you have a mindset that's, you know, like Paul. Paul said, you know what? I didn't go looking to build on someone else's foundation. That's why he didn't have a problem going to the Gentiles. They didn't have a foundation of faith. And so he was always looking to minister to those who didn't have the first inkling about who Jesus was. He says, so when you live as sojourners, when you live as pilgrims, when you live as people who are just passing through, you abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So when I travel to Fiji on this missions trip, I'm going to realize that I am only there for a short period of time. Therefore, I am going to make the most out of every opportunity. There are going to be things that I do not do while I am there because they would undermine the mission that I have. So I'm not taking my golf clubs so that I could say, well, you know, I got to play a golf course in Fiji. I'm not really worried about hitting the beaches and the swimming pools and all of that sort of stuff. There might be an opportunity for that during the conference. I'm not really sure. But what I really want to do is I want to make the most out of this short season that I have. It's going to be the opportunity that I have to see souls that are saved on a scale that I don't get to see here in America. We don't get to see hundreds of people responding to the invitation to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I don't have any problem setting some things aside because they would distract from the opportunity. The same way you and I need to look at the lusts of the flesh. They war against the soul. They don't fit with our eternal mission. And so never trade that which is eternal for something which is temporal. The older I get, the more I realize that the time is short and we need to make the most out of every opportunity. And so we can't be afraid to say no. Say no to the distractions, say no to the temptations, and say, God, this is your day that you created for me. I am your child. I am here for your purpose. I am here for your glory and your pleasure. How can I serve you in all of this? So Peter goes on and he says this, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Okay, he's telling people, you are living in a midst of people who do not have the spiritual foundation you have, who were not trained in the Word of God the way that you were. They don't understand the promises, but the Savior wants to redeem them. Peter was one of the breakthrough people who ministered to Cornelius, and that was a breakthrough moment for many of the disciples. They was like, what are you doing? We're not supposed to be hanging out with people like that. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you had some fellowship with people that Jesus might want to be coming into their heart and in their life? I didn't know until, you know, a couple of months ago that the reason I ended up having the pastor that I did was because one day he knocked on my parents' door, found them in the backyard pulling weeds, and invited them to church. And my dad wasn't raised Assembly of God. Turned out my mother was, but they weren't going any place at that particular time. And because of that invitation at one of the early services, there's pictures there of me, my grandparents, my great grandmother, all sorts of people that were there for this dedication service of the sanctuary. Because somebody said, you know what, there's some people in this community that need to know Jesus the way that I know Jesus. He says the way that you do that is you're not going to win them by your philosophical arguments. You're not going to convert them with your theological expertise. They need to see the way that you live. You live among them in an honorable manner. You know, honor is something we don't talk about very much. Honor society in school was given to those people who excelled academically, and you know, you can have some athletic honors and things like that, but there's spiritual honor. When was the last time that you evaluated an opportunity for behavior that you had in your life, and you did it from this standard? Is this going to be spiritually honorable? Is this going to honor God, or is this going to dishonor God? Is this going to be something that is seen as an invitation to people? Is it going to be in stark contrast to the way that other people behave? Because that's what God calls us to do. He says, when you conduct yourselves honorably, when they speak against you as evildoers, they're going to see your behavior and they're going to recognize God. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I do know this. We are called as believers not to behave the same way the world behaves. The world is in an eye for an eye world. The world is a vindictive world. We're not called to live that way. We are called to live in such a way that people see that we are honoring God. Paul talked to the church of Corinth and he said, why are you taking the problems inside the church? Why are you taking that to judges outside of the church? It would be more honorable if you were wronged and accepted that wrong, but you represented God well to the community. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. And so I pray today that you and I would realize this great joy that we have this coming weekend to live our lives in such a way, say, you know what? I once lived in darkness and now I'm living in light, and God wants you to have that same opportunity, and say, I'm a traveler here. I'm a visitor here. I don't care if it's for 50 years. It's just a visit. Eternity's a long, long time. Behave yourself honorably this week and watch, because people are watching you. You got an opportunity to tell them about Jesus in the days ahead. God bless you. Have a phenomenal weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I can only imagine.